Share two.
Let's begin. Share two. So last time I said over an idea first, and then we went into the sefer. This time I want to do the opposite. We're going to first read, and then I would like to explain maybe concepts. First, just as an overview as to what we spoke about last time, and generally what was said in Perek Aleph, he went through a lot of questions. He went through a lot of questions, and everybody could go through the questions themselves again. But what we came out was that a tzaddik and a benyani is not based on his actions. We don't decide based on actions who's a tzaddik and who's a benyani. It's not based on their actions of what they're doing, but it's much more panivi, much more mahusi, much more of an essence, take a difference between the two of them. And by tzaddik, he saw it very clearly, and he really proved that very much by a benyani, that you have to say that a benyani doesn't even have any chataim at all. Doesn't have any avonis at all, a benyani. So much so that even Bittul Torah, a benyani doesn't have any shaykhus to. And we find by Rabba, that he calls himself a benyani. So he's going to develop now, and he's going to start really now, in the beginning, from right now, the end of Perek Beis, Perek Aleph, he's going to really start setting up the whole picture of explaining to us what exactly is the difference between them, the mechus, or essence difference between a tzaddik and a benyani and a rasha, and that's where he's going to really go, that's really where he's going to go.
When you see a benyani doesn't even have mitzvah, it means that
mitzvah
doesn't
doesn't do
the point. It's
not that it is, it's just, it's easily done. I think that's what he means. So, by the fact that he felt, and he called it a safer benyani, it means, as a chizuk to us, that he felt that every single person could really become a benyani. And that's a big chizuk, because like we said, colloquially, that's what we would call really a tzaddik nowadays. So he really believes, and every single one of us, that we can really become a tzaddik, and the whole course of the sefer is really going down such a road. So just to start over here, we ended last time, and we'll begin with the words of Ach Bir Ha'inyan. Can I see that? Everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
Ach Bir Ha'inyan. Now we're going to explain the whole concept of a benini and a tzaddik and their avoida. What Chaim Vital wrote in Shar Kedusha, and Eitz Chaim by the Rizal, which Chaim Vital wrote as well, he wrote over from the Rizal, and Shar Nun Perek Beis, the Kol Ish Yisrael, Echad Tzadik VeEchad Rasha, Yishtei Neshamash. Every person, Echad Tzadik, Echad Rasha, doesn't make a difference, both of them equally, they each have two neshamas, the ksiv, like the pasuk says, the neshamos, and it's easy, neshamos, I mean neshamos, is a plural lashon, referring to two neshamas. Because every tzaddik, every rasha, no matter who, every benyani, whatever, every one of them has inside of them two neshamas. Two neshamas, as we'll explain in a minute. Shehein shtein nafshos, which are the two nafshos. Here he's coming to really to bevorn akasha by saying those words. I'm not sure if I want to get into what exactly he's coming to bevorn, but he's coming to say that there's two neshamas. Nefesh achas. So now we're going to start with the first nefesh achas. The first nefesh, the first neshama, is mitzad klipa v'asitra achra. First one. That's what he's doing. That is why he's actually really re-saying the word nefashos, to make sure that you should know that it doesn't really mean the word neshama, and he's making it be loose. That's one way to explain it. Hopefully, to explain it a little bit deeper. Nefesh achas is mitzad the klipa of sitra achra. One nefesh is mitzad the klipa and the sitra achra, which I hope to explain this concept of klipa and sitra achra at length shortly. This goes inside of the person. It's the part of the neshama which goes inside of the person to give a life force to the guf. Because it's like it says in the pasuk, that the nefesh is in the dam. So you see that there's a nefesh which goes, it's mislabish, meaning it resides, its residence is in the dam of the person, and gives chias to the person, it gives chias to the person, and its ikr places in the dam, it gives chias to the guf of the person. When we mena in this nefesh habahamis, which we'll call it, both kol amidas rose, all our amidas rose, come from this nefesh which is inside of our body. May arba yisodos royim, from all the different four yisodos, you know, there's esh, mayim, ruach, and ofer, like I'll say in a minute, and all them, there's a tov to them, and there's a ra to them, so all the ra that comes from them, kol amidas rose from these arba yisodos, really come out from this nefesh. Shabbat the hainu kas the gaiva yisod the esh shenigwa lamala, like we know that kas and gaiva, as self understood, I'm not going to explain everyone at length now, but kas and gaiva, they are from the yisod of esh of the dal yisodos. And then you go to the next one, but taivas hatanugim, your desires are yisod the mayim ki amayim matzmichim kol mini tainu, because all the different tanugim come from water, they grow from water, so. We have water, and we have esh, and he's giving us the midas ra'os, which they represent. V'hoilogos v'leitzonos, v'hisparos, all those midas of being a late, and glorifying yourself, the devarim betelim, those are all from the yisoid ha-ruach. Each one of these can be explained at length, and really should be explained at length, but maybe next time around we go to Tanya, we'll explain it more at length. The atzvus is miyisoid ha-ofer, the atzvus, and the atzvus comes from the yisoid ha-ofer, comes from dirt. That's self-understood. Dirt is very heavy. Dirt doesn't really move. And dirt, therefore, a person feels heavy. That's like we saw the offer. So, what he said so far is that we have this neshama, which goes inside of the guf, gives chiyas to the guf, and all of our natural midos rose come from this. And in fact, all of our tviyos, all of our tzarchei guf come from this. For example, when we're hungry, or when we feel tired, or we feel thirsty, when our body feels all the needs that it needs, all of its desires that it needs, this is really built off this nefesh.
I never got this from this line, this concept that he speaks of. Nefesh of Basar Adam, we men are boys called Midas Rois.
Yeah.
This nefesh of Basar Adam, and from it come all Midas Rois. May Arbi Yisrael is Ram Shabbat. From the Arbi Yisrael is Royim Shabbat that exists in the nefesh of Hamas.
Yeah.
The nefesh of Hamas is made up of Arbi Yisrael.
Made up of, or has it contained inside of it? So, but all the, yeah.
Why does he call it a image of a Hamas?
So,
he's just saying that that causes the physical inclination.
Because, so I was going to get to that. So the reason why it's called the image of a Hamas is because, just like we were saying now, that all of our natural tendencies, all of our natural needs come from this nefesh. So our desire to eat, our desire to drink, our desire to sleep, all come and are based on this nefesh. All of our tzarchei guf. An animal only lives with its tzarchei guf. Its whole life is trying to say is to nourish its guf. That's the whole yisod of an animal. So maybe when we're talking about this nefesh, which is built off just having, which gives us our tzarchei guf that we feel, and maybe it's also called the nefesh of Bahamas. That's why we tell it as nefesh of Bahamas. That's one way to explain it.
Why not on the nefesh?
Because it's a ruchniistic thing. It's still ruchniist.
Nefesh is life source.
Right. That's true. But our pull towards physical things, that's the midas that we're referring to. Our pull towards
physical
things. I mean, we'll have midas, which we'll see. That's not to say for the midas a lot. That's true. He's calling it a more general term, that our tzarchei guf, things that our body does. Because our body has certain tzarchim. It's not saying that this is animal. No, it's saying that this is our tzarchei guf.
We can just divide what kind of person is the more animalistic aspect of a man and the more godly aspect.
Right. Fine. So that's this part of the nefesh. Maybe that's why it's called the nefesh of Bahamas. the gam midas toivah shebeteva kol Yisrael, and so too it is with the midas toivah shebeteva kol Ish Yisrael, teva kol Yisrael. It's all the Islam, and naturally we know that the Gemara says that Klal Yisrael, they have three natural midas, kmo rachmanas v'gimilas chasadim, and they're bayishonim, they have busha, right? Is there another gears of change I'm not aware of there?
No, but why is that bayishonim?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Why you do that by Shana?
I think the general answer is that came in principles of
Terra. Yeah? Very nice.
Today is
the Tavah. Oh, very nice. So, Rahmanat, so with the Nefesh, this Nefesh of Bahamas that we have inside of us has also natural tendencies that a Yid naturally has, like the Gemara says, the Gimel Simonim and this Ummah that a Yid naturally has, excluding his second Nefesh, that we'll say in a minute, inshallah, whatever, we'll explain in a minute. But naturally, we have from this nefesh, our nefesh of Bahamas, even these natural good midas. And he explains why. Why is that? And this is going to be, this will need explanation. I don't know if I'll explain it now, but I'll explain it more throughout the Sefer. Ki b'Yisrael nefesh zu deklipa, this nefesh deklipa that's inside of Klal Yisrael, he meklipas noiga. It's meklipas noiga. We know that klipa, on one hand, is a word which we'll explain very shortly, doesn't represent something which is tov. Noga represents light. Noga is or, light. So it has both these two contrasts to each other. It's klipa, but it's also a noga. And so in every yid, there's these two contrasts. So mamela, we have the bad side of this klipa, which is going to be all of our midas rose. Which is going to be all of our midas rose that we have, which are natural, bahamis, dika, teva, tzarchi, guf. And then we also have as well, inside of us, our natural pull towards tov as well. Because this klipa that we have inside of us, this nefesh of Bahamas, which is from the klipa to noiga, is from the eitz hadas toivera, which means that there's toiv and there's ra to it. Is that clear so far? So what we said is that this nefesh has three aspects to it. It does three things so far. One, it gives chiyas to the guf. It keeps us alive. It's our hashad chiyas that we have. Our tzarchei guf, everything to do with our body, our life force in our body. That's step number one. Step number two is that it's the makor to all of our midas rose that we have. It's an eish, afar, ruach, bahu. All of our midas rose, they all come as well from this nefesh. And then on top of that, our natural midas, which we naturally have, which are tov, they also come from this klipa, and that's unique to Klal Yisrael. So you see, what do you see from here? Which we'll see really clearly in a second. Actually, let's read on for a second. Mashi enkein, nafshas umos obde gilulim, hey meshar klipas temeos. Mashi enkein, the goyim, their nefesh, every yid has to know that he's even his, the worst part of him is better than a goy. But the nefesh of a goy, it's from the other three klipas, which we'll explain. Shehein ein behem toiv klal. They don't have any tov at all. All the good that the umos ha'odim do, they do for themselves. Meaning that even their tov can't be proper, can't be in its fullest. Even their tov can't be in its fullest. Like it says in the Gizah B'Gemara, on the positive, the chesed of the umim chatas, the chesed of the umim do is also like a chatas. It's also like a sin by them, because it can't be perfect. It's not really right. Shekol stokah v'chesed, she'umas ovdei gilulim oizin, any chesed, stokah that they do, ainon el lizar, all for their own gavur, all for their own self. All the tov, all the good that a goy will do, will always eventually trickle back to say that it's for me. Masha Einkein, a yid, he can have a pure tov, just even off his side of klipa tov. Meaning, even the lowest part of a yid, this lowest part of a yid which comes from the nefesh of Bahamas of him, could even do something completely with a complete full hearted tov. And that itself already is a higher madriga than a goy. That itself is a higher madriga than a goy, that everything about a goy is completely built off these three gimel klipa sameas, which we'll explain in a minute. So that's the nefesh of Bahamas of a yid, and the nefesh of Bahamas of a goy. Is that clear so far? So that's really, not to be confused, that's really one nefesh. We say that there's two nefesh in every tzaddik and every rasha. That is one of the two. This nefesh of Bahamas, don't be confused and say the three klipa of Tameas, but they're also part of the nefesh of a yid. We don't have the essence shaitas to that. Like we said before, that any chatas, any sin that a yid does, he can never say that's really him. And this is Mamash Makor for that. It's never really shayach to him, because he doesn't really ever connect purely to Ra. So that's the first nefesh, the nefesh of Bahamas of a year. Is that clear so far? Any questions?
And
also he what?
He also not identify with the Ra he does?
Absolutely not.
Russia.
Got, I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
He says it?
Yeah?
Yeah, it could be that some people, they mamish tamper the Nakuda Zihaza so badly.
Somebody says even on the Mishnah, it says that there were 10 people, or almost 8 people, and it says there was work really hard to get that to it.
I don't know where to find that as well, but yeah. Could be Yashka because
he's not. So,
Akoponim, maybe excluding Yashka.
I'll tell you a clear example of where I
am. Yeah,
it's not just an idea of Rishayim, and then you're going to want to come and say maybe Yashka. He clearly says that.
Wow.
He says Yashka, just as an example.
No, where are you?
But he says that he's completely excluded.
No. He says that when he says, Akadosh Baruch Hu says, look, he's not going to be enough. It's not my Yashka as well.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I thought you said the opposite of anything. Okay.
You said maybe
I was huh? Yeah, I was thrown off completely. Every year. Even the, just explain it if you want. Just even the yidden, let's say, which is the inam chedek ulam haba. The way you explain it is that certain yidden, I mean, there's every yid has a klal yidek ulam haba, which is shaykh to every yid as a klal. But every yid has also the protisik ulam haba. That's shy to their avodah. So you might say that they were completely excluded from the olam haba, which would be the pratis olam haba that don't ever have a shaykhus to those yidden, like or whatever. But the kloyes yisrael olam haba, they might also have a shaykhus to that. That's a general explanation. We're not getting into it more than that. Fine. But now let's look at the other nefesh. The nefesh hashenis yisrael, the second nefesh of Klal Yisrael, he chedek elokai memal mamash. This is a chelik of the Karim Mamamish. I am not explaining this parak right now. I am just using it to explain the contrast between one klipa, one nefesh, and the second nefesh. I am going to read this again next week. Okay? Kamoja called the Vipak the Ap of Nishmas Chaim. He blew inside of him a nefesh Chaim. The Ata Nefachtavi, every word needs to be Mudaik. The Ata Nefachtavi, you blew it inside of me. The one who blows from his inside, from his innards, the inner of the person, the inner chiyus of the person comes out, is moitiv nefichah soy bekoyach. When he blows out the koyach, that comes out. Huh? Next week. It's every line needs to be medayik over here and spoken about and. Just to show how connected we are with the Ribbono Shel Olam and how completely tied together we are with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But that's the contrast. The contrast is that we have, every year it has on one hand, a Nefesh HaElokis, which is his Neshama. And we have also a Nefesh HaBahamis, which is from this Klipas Noga that exists inside of him. And really the reason why he put the other one first, he spoke Klipas Noga first before he spoke about the Nefesh HaElokis, because that's the way that's the Seder that things work, that first Ayyid gets his Yetzer Hara, and then when he turns 13, he gets his Yetzer Toiv. So he also put it in that order. Say Pashup Shah. Fine. But that's the idea. Of the difference between the Nefesh HaBahamis and the Nefesh HaLakis, and that's really setting up to describe the essence difference between a Beinoni and the Tzaddik, the difference between them and a Rosh and everything. So I want to go on to explain now a little bit more, if you have the Shmaya, exactly what is a Klipa? What is a Klipa? What does it mean, the word Klipa? You said the word like 16 times. So I'd like to explain the things important to have clarity in it. And then also, how do they come to existence? How do they come? I hope I get that far. How do they come into existence in this world? So step by step, we'll try to go slow. So really, like we said, there's four klipas. It's four general klipas that are really brought down in the pasuk. There's three klipas tameas. There's three major klipas. And then there's this klipas noiga, like we saw. And they're really meramis in the pasuk in Yecheskel. Why exactly these ones? Okay, I don't know exactly, but this is what they're called. The Erev Hine Ruach Se'ara, that's one. The Ruach Se'ara is the first. Bomin Atopan Anon Gadol. There's the second, which is called the Anon Gadol. The Eish Mishmakachas is called the third one. Those three, Ruach Se'ara, Anon Gadol, the Eish Mishmakachas, those three are represent the Gimel Klipa Tameis. Then we have as well, huh? It could be, yeah. I haven't delved into it properly. V'noigel osoviv and klipas noiga. That's the end of the pasuk. V'noigel osoviv. That's the klipas noiga. That's the fourth klipa. And like we said before, the difference between these two klipas is as follows: that klipas noiga has one hand a klipa. It's also one hand noiga. Represents or because it represents a mixture of toiv and of ra. Has both qualities to it. Masha'enke in these three klipas tameis, there is no tov to them at all. No tov at all. That's the difference between the two. So now, what is a klipa? What is a klipa? So it's as follows. We know that there's something called a klipa ala pri. Klipa ala pri. There's a klipa which covers over the fruit. So what does it mean that the klipa covers over the fruit? It means that you can't see the fruit. You can't see what's under the klipa. The klipa acts as a covering over the thing which is inside the penis, which is inside that thing. The klipa is mechase over the fruit that's inside of it. And the same thing is true when it comes to ruchnius. Just like a klipa covers over the fruit that you can't see the fruit inside, so too in ruchnius, when it comes to being revealing Elokus in this world, revealing the Rabboni Shel Olam, revealing the Neshama, there's something called the Klipa, which also covers it over. You're not able to see, you're not able to be makir that thing, you're not able to recognize it. That's what a Klipa is. A Klipa means that you're mechasa over something that you can't see it. It makes it hidden. Like Novel said, there was Novel. Novel was a major Klipa that David Melech worked hard on. Almo Novel Bavibo Ein Elokim. Novel, who was a major Klipa, he said Ein Elokim. Why? Because he was such a big Klipa, which was Mechasa over Elokus, that you weren't able to recognize Elokus, and he could say, so far, Ein Elokim. There's no Elokim. There's no Elokus. And what that means, when you say that Elokus is covered over, is you're able to say about yourself now that you are separate. And when you say you are separate, it means that you feel that you have a yeshus to yourself. You feel like you're a dover yesh b'fnei atma. You're separate from Elokus. You're a yesh b'fnei atma. You're completely separate. That's what it means, the klipa. That's what the Rishav here writes. Ini na klipas shehem nefrodim legamrei ubechines yesh mamash. The klipas, they are nefrodim. They are completely separate. And a yesh mamish, because they cover over Elokus, they cover over the Rabbanu Shel Olam in the world in such a way that you could think that this world exists without a Rabbanu Shel Olam. That it's a yesh b'fnei atma, it's an identity of its own. That's what it means, the klipa. It's a covering over of Elokus to feel that you're a yesh b'fnei atma. Klar? So that's why the midah of Kedusha is the exact opposite midah. The midah of a yid, the midah of Kedusha of a yid, is to feel the exact opposite. A yid goes against the klipa, and a yid lives his life. The topless of the midah of Kedusha is feeling a complete bittul, nullification, that's right? A complete nullification to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, a complete bittul to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So the klipa means you can feel a yeshus, which is a complete separation from the Rabbanu Shel Olam. She'en kein, when it comes to Kedusha, you could feel a complete, you feel a complete bittul to the Rabbanu Shel Olam.
Inclusion.
Right? Let's take that word. That's why, when it comes
something to... Something exists, it's totally
round. Huh?
Something exists, it's totally
round. I'd like to... Okay, so we'll explain that. I'm going to explain that. Slowly. Step by step. Let's just get what klipa means. Separation. Yeah? So now, that's why...
Is it a separate thing or just covers over something else?
It makes a covering over Elokus, and by covering over, being able to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you could feel that you are now completely separate.
But it doesn't, it's not something that exists on its own.
Of course not. He'll explain it later on, by person does an Avera, and he'll explain it later on exactly in detail more also. That's why the root, if you would say, of all Chatoyim would be the Chet of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, that's why it says by the Gemara, it's the Shar Shacharah. You need to go to the Shar Avodah Zarah in order to uproot Avodah Zarah. Because since it's like the Shar of all Chatoyim, you need to go to the Shar of Avodah Zarah. Because what it means is that you're completely feeling separate. Avodah Zarah says that there is no Elokus. The greatest Yeshus that could be separate from the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world would be Avodah Zarah. That it's saying, I'm God and He's not. That idea, that concept of saying that I could exist without HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Avodah Zarah tries to represent as someone who serves Avodah Zarah, there's no greater Yeshus in the world that exists outside of the Avodah Shalom Kibyachol like Avodah Zarah. That's why also that we say, out of all the Midas Ro'os, if you can see this for sure, I think this is true, that of all the Midas Ro'os, if you call it, what's the lion, what's the king of the jungle of Midas Ro'os? The king of the jungle, huh? Exactly. The king of the jungle of Midas Ro'os is the Midas of Gaiva. And it's Mamash because of this, because the Midas of Gaiva, just like Avodah Zarah, is like the root of all Chatoyim. So Chazal say, "Kol Adam Sheish Bo Gas Zaruach, Kiilu Oyde Avodah Zarah." Anybody who has Gas Ruach, anybody who has Gaiva, it's as if he serves Avodah Zarah. And the reason being is exactly the way what we just explained, because Avodah Zarah means that you could feel that I'm a Yeshus. I could feel completely separate from the Ribbono Shel Olam. A Baal Gaiva thinks he has his own koyach. He doesn't live with a complete balance of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Mela, a person who's a Baal Gaiva, what he feels is complete separation from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why the Midah of Gaiva it trumps all of the Midahs. And that's also why Moshe Rabbeinu, who would you say is the greatest person to ever live? Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Midah which is described in Moshe Rabbeinu is the Midah of what? That he's the Amav Mikol Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu was the person who lived with the complete greatest bittul that any other person could have. Moshe Rabbeinu lived with the tachlis of bittul.
Moshe Avdi.
Moshe Rabbeinu lived with the complete high level of bittul. And that's also why you find by Moshe Rabbeinu, and also very interesting thing, said by Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yikbar oso b'gai, he was buried b'gai be'eretz moyav, mul beis pa'or. He was buried opposite beis pa'or. Rashi says, mul beis pa'or, Kibur haya mukhun sham mishesh mebreshes. He was buried there. It was set over there from Moshe Rabbeinu from shesh mebreshes. Why? Lechaper al ma'isa po'or. Because he comes to act as a kapara for ma'isa po'or. For the ma'isa po'or, the ma'isa of Avodah Zarah. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is the exact opposite of Avodah Zarah. Moshe Rabbeinu is the exact opposite of Avodah Zarah. And he even finally, he was completely separate from the Chet Ego. Come out the only one who was completely separate. Moshe Rabbeinu is completely separate from Avodah Zarah. Because Moshe Rabbeinu represents that I am the honor of Adam. I live with complete his batlas. I completely give myself over to the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is the exact opposite of this lion, which is called the Midah of Gaiva, which says that I can be a Yesh. And that's called Avodah Zarah. So Elokus, Bittul, Godliness, Kedusha, that's all Anava, and that's the exact opposite of Avodah Zarah, which means Yeshus, which is the Midah of Gaiva. Clear?
Are you saying that the Midah of Avodah Zarah is saying that I am Hashem, or is that you're
giving
the idea that there is a God
of Hashem? I mean, I'm sure. I think different Avodah Zarah might have said that you find by the Dor of Flaga that they were mocked that there was a Ribbono Shel Olam even when they were serving their Avodah Zarah. The Rambam says, but they said that Ribbono Shel Olam had to leave Veshnikol. He explains later on that they themselves have a certain recognition that there's Elokus, and that makes you a certain level worse than them. Yeah, I explain it later on in the Sefer. So when we get there, maybe we'll touch on it more. But he talked about your question very much.
I think what he's asking is, does Avodah Zarah require to be there's another God, or there's just
I thought he was asking on the Avodah Zarah itself or on you as the mensch. The Avodah Zarah is makir that there's alukos. It might be makir that. It is makir that. It's makir makor. The Oedin, maybe not. Not that they have to know there's alukos. They might think there's just no Avodah Zarah. They think there is no alukos. They think there is no Avodah Zarah. There's no Avodah Zarah. The penis, you know, but it's on his
back. But anything other than Hashem is
fine. So now we explained basically what is a klipa. Right? Clear what a klipa is? Yeshus, separation from Elokos, covering over Elokos, which allows you to feel your own Yeshus. But now we have to explain how they get here. How do they come about? So, just to build it up a little bit, we say every single Shabbos by Kegavna, because Ayel Shavsa, when Shabbos comes, I is Yachdas, there's a unification. Is Parshat Mishitra Achraim, there's a separation from all Sitra Achra. Shabbos, we separate ourselves completely from Sitra Achra, from Klipa, from Ra. And we also say in Midrash Shaliyom Shabbos, Ki Hine O Yedvecho Yavedu Vizpardu Kol Play Ovid. All your enemies, they go away on Shabbos. So the question is, why is Shabbos unique to that? What's unique about Shabbos? So, it's getting a little late, so I'm going to pick up the speed a little bit. So we say, Chazal tell us, Basar Mamoros Nevar Olam. The world was created with a Sar Mamoros, 10 utterances. That's the way that they say it. 10 utterances the Rabbeinu Shalom created the world with. A Sar Mamoros. Sar Mamoros is a little bit tricky, so you have to hone in. And the Mishnah of Abbas asks, Bahalo B'maimer, Echo Yachol Libaros? You could have created it with one Maimer, so why do you create it with 10? Eli Parlam in a Rishayim, Shema Adin is Oilam, to give punishment to the Rishayim, to give Schar to the Tzadikim, Shema Kaim is Oilam. So therefore, he created it with one Maimer, with 10 Mamaras. In order to give punishment to the Rishayim and Schar to the Tzadikim, therefore, he created the world with 10 Mamaram Lamaisa. So I want to explain maybe the Oimik of this Chazal when it means. So later on in Perikov Beis, the Tanya himself writes like this. The Torah speaks in the same language that a person will speak, in the same way. It represents the same type of dibor. The Torah dibor is called Rishim dibor mamish. It's called a dibor. Ki dibor shel adam, just like the dibor of an adam. The feature be'emes kach he derech and read this of shachos achiz v'aktonim zim rabim, because when he created the world, he created the world, this is a deep concept, he created the world through a lot of tzimtzumim, and he covered over it. The kol kach gavur v'atma tzimtzumim v'hetzer ponim alyonim, that the hetzer ponim throughout the world came more and more and more. Ad shiyuchlu li'savo zivoz gam devarim tamim v'kibbutz v'sitra achra. Until you could have in the world things which are sitra achra and klipa. Meaning a dibor of a person's dibor, is when he speaks, when I'm speaking to you now, what's happening to my dibor? It's leaving me. It's leaving me, I'm the makor, it's leaving me, and it's going outside of me. So my dibor, when it leaves me, I can say my, to contrast to my makshava, it's always there inside of me, my makshava. My dibor is not always united with me like my makshava is. When I'm speaking, it's leaving me, it's going outside of me. And in a certain way, you could say that it's separate from me. It leaves me, I feel a certain separation from me. So too it is, when Hashem created the world, Ayadei Dibor, you could say that it's different than Machshava. You won't feel that there's that complete unity like you would by Machshava. Because Dibor means a separation. So when Hashem created the world with Asar Mamaros, when he created the world with Dibor, it means that you could feel the world as being separate. But of course in the Pneumas, like he writes, really in the previous parak, he writes about that, parak Chof Aleph, he writes, of course, because Baruch Hu's Dibor is not like our Dibor. It's not like our Dibor, on the other hand, because the Pneumas, really, because Baruch Hu's Dibor is completely united with him. There's no such thing in the world as existing outside of the Rabbeinu Shalom. So our Dibor is really not similar to the Rabbeinu Shalom's Dibor. But because he speaks the lashon of dibor like the lashon of Bnei Adam, so we have also the other side of the contrast. So we have two contrasts going on. One of the Rabbeinu Shalom's dibor comes out, and you would think that it's meaning something separate. But on the other hand, not. it's not separate, it's completely united with him. Our avoda of Klal Yisrael is to show that the whole entire world, that you could look at the Ribbono Shel Olam's dibur kibyachol as being separate from the Ribbono Shel Olam, is to show that it really is completely united with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the avoda of Klal Yisrael. So when we say, is that clear? The dibur of the Ribbono Shel Olam, it looks separate. So if it looks separate and the whole world is created from that, it gives the ability for the world to say, I'm a separate entity. Because a dibur means I'm ba'etim leaving my makor, where I came from. So if God created the world with dibur, you could look at the world now and say there's something that could be separate. There can be something separate. And maybe the whole life force of something which can feel separate, a klipa, how could it feel separation? How does it feel separate? It feels separate only because Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a dibur which looks like our dibur, which says I am separate from my makor. Klar? Basha'en kein, the truth is what? That it's really completely united with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's Pshat Chazal. Chazal say Basar Mamor is never alone, but he could create it with one mimer. Our real avoda is that we're supposed to take those Asar Mamoras and we're supposed to really make them look like one mimer. But that's where we get our schar, and that's where they're shy, and that's where they lose out. Because 10 mamaros would mean separation. 10 means it's separated. It's separated from that unity which could have been one mimer. So it means that the world could feel a certain level of separation. I feel separate, like a diva which is separate. But our avodah is really, no, one mimer. I'm making it into one mimer. Everything is completely Ribbono Shel Olam, and even the world which is created through a dibur is completely united with him. Why? That's the only way. You could feel separation. How could you feel separation without a dibur? The only thing that makes something to be separate is because a dibur means I'm separating myself from my makor. So the world couldn't have felt a separation. I mean, there couldn't be a korach of a chir, let's say, without the being dibur, which allows it to exist. Ten is the essence means is separate. Ten is a period to one. Why the lashon ten? Why not two? Because the Maral has very nice on that. But ten means separation. One means complete unity.
The goal was to show separation, not that's the kasha.
The mission is saying you could have created with one. Why didn't you do it? Because of schar. That's why you created it with ten. So why the lengthy whole process? But the Maisa, what's the difference between 1 and 10? What is the difference between the two? 10 means separation. 1 means unity.
It's symbolic unity, even though Zibor.
Yeah, because those are both the two contrasts of Zibor.
One symbolizes unity, even though Zibor is separate, we're still being from the
start. The Siddiqim, they bring it back to one mimer. After all, 20 more. Right? Okay, we'll discuss some more afterwards. I want to finish the point because it's Mamish Mara, probably 1 minute. So that's why, when it comes to Shabbos, Akash Baruch Hu rested when he created the world. On Shabbos, Akash Baruch Hu rested. Shabbos vayinafash. There was a menucha, there was a resting. So Akash Baruch Hu rested on Shabbos, what did he rest from, Be'etzim? It means that he rested, the Baal speaks about it as well in the Maimer, he rested from his Koyach of Dibor. Shabbos means my Koyach of Dibor comes to rest. The Ribbono Shel Olam Dibor comes to rest. So in Cain, he adds the Baal Tanya, how did he create the world on Shabbos if there is no Dibor creating it? So the Baal Tanya says, Shabbos isn't created from Dibor, it's created from Machshava. Shabbos means I created from Hashem. We say by Shabbos, keep me'od amku machmasecha. We say by Mitzvah Shoyam Shabbos. Because Shabbos was created not from the Dibor of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It was created from the Machshava of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the difference between Shabbos and the weekday. And Mela, just like on Shabbos it was created from the Machshava, means that it's completely united. It's the exact opposite of what a Dibor means, leaving. It means complete unity with yourself. So maybe that's why on Shabbos we see by Kegavra that there is no makom for klipa on Shabbos. Because when you enter into a world called the machshava, which means complete unity, it means that there's no more room to say that the yeshus outside of the emotion, because it's completely united, like the machshava is with the person who's thinking. So mamela, there's no room to say I'm a yesh b'fnei atma, I'm a yesh on my own, because on Shabbos the whole world was created from the machshava. So just to sum everything up, we have two nefesh of Bahamas, nefesh of Alakos. We spoke about the difference between the two a little bit, and this comes from a klipa. There's two different types of klipa. Gimel klipa is tameis, klipa is noiga. Klipa means a yesh, feeling separation. That's the midah of gaiva and of avodah zara. And we explained that the only way that they can really exist, only exist because that they have, because Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a dibor. Dibor can mean separation, and our job is to show that no, there is no separation. And on Shabbos we have a complete unity, which is the machshava. Which means that I'm completely unified with male, that's why there is no klipa and sitra afra on Shabbos. Shkoyach.